Have you ever experienced a moment or moments in your life where words didn't seem to suffice? Where language felt redundant, obsolete, unnecessary even? Where you couldn't find the right words to describe what it was you were experiencing? Or maybe words didn't fit the context? Often these moments happen in experiences of deep sorrow and distress, where life circumstances go beyond what we can control or manage or hold. And if you weren't here with us last week, Robin taught a message on prayer as lament and tears. And I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. But these moments where words don't seem applicable, where maybe we're struck by the beauty of the human experience, of pure joy and delight, almost in disbelief of what is happening or in anticipation of what's to come. The face of your newborn baby, a loved one gaining strength to continue in life, friends gathered around together at a table sharing in real, raw, authentic, intimate conversation. These moments of a wordless reality, they can bloom in the ordinary, in the mundane, in a snowfall, in a sunset, in a warm cup of tea, in a glance from that person that you've been crushing on, a breeze, or a beautiful piece of artwork. Where we feel like we're being transported into another world, where we transcend the material and we enter the mystical, where words become less needed and our senses swing into action, where we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch the natural world around us, while simultaneously we're immersed in what can only be described as the spiritual. I like to call this a thin space between divine presence and the human soul, where the unseen and humanity collide. And whether this is through sorrow, joy, or the ordinary, we find ourselves without words, without language, without an external expression that can fully encompass what it is that we know and we're experiencing. It's like a deep inner hearing, deep within a part of us that maybe we didn't even realize existed, deep in our being, far deeper than just emotion. And maybe we call this place our soul. And out of our soul, we cry out, "Oh my God." And as we continue in our series this morning, "Oh my God," exploring the vast, deep, and wide world of prayer, of connection and encounter with God, today we're going to look at a form of prayer that is often referred to as wordless prayer. Now, I'm not sure how I wrote a sermon with words on wordless prayer, but here goes. Wordless prayer. Prayer where words don't seem to be enough, where something beyond words is occurring. Often this can be referred to as prayer of the heart or contemplative prayer. And that's how we're going to refer to it today, contemplative prayer. Now, if contemplative prayer is wordless prayer, then what are we left with? We live in a world that is rich with words. We've got books, podcasts, social media, texting, calling, Substack, blogs. I think blogs are still a thing. movies, TV series, sermons, talking. Lots of words. Where information is at our fingertips and there's always more to read, to hear, or to comprehend. And personally, I find it exhausting. An early church father, St. Clement of Alexandria, he said that our modern world is like old shoes, all worn out except for the tongue. Yeah. I found it interesting that Robin asked me to do this message. And when I told my husband what the topic was, he was like, "That fits." Because you see, I'm not usually the chatty one in my house. I'm pretty okay. Actually, I'd say I'm okay with less words than more. So I might be a little biased here, but I think there could be less talking in our world today and a lot more listening and attentiveness to what's going on in us and around us. But silence for many of us is uncomfortable, and quietness is hard to come by. We're so often searching for the next thing to say, struggling to be present to what's right in front of us, or even the people right in front of us. And it's genuinely and sometimes seemingly impossible to be present, to have a posture of listening, to be able to quiet our own thoughts and truly draw our attention toward Christ and toward God in prayer. I think without always realizing it, that we can actually long for the busy, for the movement, for the chatter, that it seems to provide some sort of temporary relief, or at the very least, it keeps us distracted. But God has so much more for us than a life of distraction and noise. Theologian Richard Foster, in his book titled Prayer, says progress in intimacy with God means progress towards silence. God longs to meet with us in the quiet, wordless places, in the silence. And I'm hoping as we explore this topic of contemplative prayer together this morning, that this will come more into view. The Center for Action and Contemplation, the CAC, is a Christian organization founded by Richard Rohr. He's a spiritual teacher known for his work with Christian mysticism and contemplation. And the CAC and Richard Rohr say that contemplation is the practice of being fully present in heart, mind, and body to what is. Many Christian thinkers and spiritual giants throughout history collectively agree that the overarching goal of contemplative prayer is union with God, intimacy with God. Now, there are many practices and tools that can be used to help guide us into this contemplative prayer. There's breath prayers, silent prayers, centering prayers, prayers of meditation and examine. And these are all tools and practices that can help open us up to the experience of contemplative prayer. And similar practices have existed in, or do and have existed in most world religions for centuries. For example, our indigenous brothers and sisters, they have a long-standing history of spiritual practices that emphasize a deep connection with God and the created world. So contemplative prayer is not a new practice. And what we now refer to as contemplative prayer, Jesus himself, I would suggest, was familiar with this. In scripture, Christ is described as going away to quiet places to pray. Jesus needed to get away to seek the Father in prayer. He retreats to the wilderness. He invites us to go to our inner room and pray in private and quiet. Jesus has a deep connection to God the Father, a deep dependence and union on God, with God, an intimacy that is evident. So if contemplative prayer is wordless prayer, then what are we left with? How do we be fully present, body, mind, and heart, to what is? How do we, and how does this draw us into intimacy with God? Well, I brought this box with me this morning, and as a representation, this is meant to represent you. So this represents you, it represents me, and everything in this box is everything that makes us us, makes us who we are. Everything that we bring to the table, our past, our present, and our future. At Celebrate Recovery, we use language like our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. All the things, the childhood memories playing by the river, your parents' divorce, the remarriage, your marriage, your relationships, your experiences in school, the child you long to have, the children you were given to care for, the loved ones that you've lost along the way. The accident, the affair, the hopelessness and wandering. The beliefs that formed about yourselves, about God, about others, about the world, your politics and perceptions and preferences and personality, the things you wish that you didn't do and the things you wish you could have done. Everything that makes you who you are. And when we pray to God, our Creator, we bring our full self. We bring everything to the table. Everything comes along for the ride. As quoted last week, C.S. Lewis says that we come to God as we are, not as we wish we were. And I think we have a tendency to dismiss, to disregard, and to deny the truth of what's inside of us. So much so that maybe we might not even be aware of what's there. And it can seem so much easier, as I said earlier in this message, to live in the chaos and the noise and the distractions of life. Quietness, calm, sitting with ourselves, with God, it doesn't come naturally for most of us. It's too uncomfortable, it's too scary, it's too overwhelming. Often when I meet and talk with people who are wounded or just struggling with a relationship in their life or some circumstance in their life, they'll say to me, you know, I can't open up because if I do, like, I'm not going to be able to handle it. Like, I won't survive it. And there's this real felt sense that if we allow ourselves to truly sit with everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that we won't be able to handle it. That we won't even survive it. And I'm here to tell you that generally, that simply isn't true. And most often, it is when we allow ourselves to go to these places of not dismissing, disregarding, or denying that we encounter God. So to answer my own question, I would suggest that at least in part, how we become fully present to what is and experience intimacy with God is by fully welcoming ourselves to the table. And this is no easy feat. Because what do I mean by this? I mean that when our bodies are riddled with anxiety, we bring our anxiety to God. When our minds are confused, we bring our confusion. When we feel tired, exhausted, fed up, angry, peeved off, afraid, uncertain, unsure, hopeful, excited, lost, we bring it. We stop dismissing, disregarding, and denying what's actually going on inside of us. And God welcomes all of it. He actually wants it. He wants all of you, all of me, all of us. And when we can be fully present to, you know, body, mind, and heart, to what is there, this is where we enter contemplative prayer. So, I recently did a cold plunge. Has anyone else ever done a cold plunge before? Ooh! Love it, my cold plunge brothers and sisters. Hello. Yeah, crazy. So 3-degree water, this was 3-degree water that I was challenged to sit in for 3.5 minutes. Talk about, oh my God. So there was a guy that was there with me and like a coach to kind of help you as you're first getting in. And he had said that before you get in to the water, the very first thing, first and foremost, is you need to breathe. You need to be calm, you need to calm your nervous system, and just breathe. And then the next step is you step into the cold plunge water, but like only up, you know, up to here in your legs, so that you can begin to acclimatize and adjust to the temperature, or you just like jump out because you're like, nope, not doing this. But you're supposed to do that, and you're supposed to just stand there. And then calmly And carefully, you lower yourself down into this almost ice cold water. When I shared this in rehearsal, Robin was like, oh, no, squirming. But the moment you hit the water, it's like you, like for me anyways, this was my experience, it's like I lost my breath. And it just was like this, like really quick inhale. It felt like I was gonna lose my breath. It was actually kind of scary. But then you just sit there. And you just sit there in this quiet stillness because you don't want to move because it's so cold. And at first your thoughts and your bodily sensations, you know, they're screaming at you like, get out of the water. What are you doing? You don't want to be in here. But as, you know, time passes and, you know, you're just supposed to really focus on the moment. I don't know what that means. Focus on being present to yourself, mostly to your breath and to just that moment you're in. And I was gonna say it gets easier as you sit there, but that's actually not true. I think you just go numb. But this is like such an apt analogy of how contemplative prayer works. Number one, it is not for the faint of heart. It involves intentionally slowing down and quieting ourselves, often starting with breath, just enough to enter in. And usually we begin with small steps and we progressively move toward the deeper waters of prayer and union with God. So while we engage and in contemplative prayer, while we're there, we're bringing in our full self, and often our full self is screaming, get out. Like, what are you doing? This is so uncomfortable. Can I just go and do the dishes? Or like, I don't want to sit in this. But if we sit in the quiet stillness, welcoming all of our inner voices and sensations, we begin to move beyond them and into this place of wordless prayer, into the presence and love of God. And it is here where it becomes the love of God that overwhelms us. It is here that we begin to see what we never saw before. We begin to understand what we never understood before. We move out of and away from just knowing about God to knowing God. And there needs to be some level of trust to do this. Before I got in that cold plunge, I asked the instructor, I'm not going to die, right? I need to know that it's going to be okay. And we need some level of trust to be fully present and open to and attentive to God. There has to be, just like any other meaningful relationship in our lives, or at least a willingness to trust, or even a willingness to be willing to trust. And I know some of you in the room or watching online with us this morning, you're just exploring faith. And maybe you're not sure where you stand or exactly what you believe. Others of us have been walking the good road with Jesus for a long time. And still others, you may be here rediscovering and rebuilding your faith. You've been wounded by the church, wounded by those who claim to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. And I wanna say I'm so sorry that that's part of your story. And that here at Lakeside, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. And I don't just say you're welcome here, like you're actually welcome here. Wherever you're coming from, we all have our own images of God and our own levels of trust and distrust with God. And to trust is vulnerable. To open up, it takes courage. But not only do we come with our own images of God, we also come with our own images of ourselves. And our image of God directly influences our image of ourselves. And our image of ourselves directly influences our image of God. Because if I believe that I'm inherently bad and sinful, and I live in the shame of that, and that God needs to punish me because he's a just God and that's what he needs to do, I'm probably going to approach God with fear and maybe a deep need to please him, to be good enough for him. But if I believe that I am inherently good and that God made me good, and that God is love, and that God loves me, I'm going to approach God with confidence, knowing that I'm an image bearer of God, of Christ, I'm a new creation, and I'm his beloved child. And here at Lakeside, we believe in a God who is for us, a good God, not a God of punishment and retaliation, but a Father God, a Mother God of justice and mercy, forgiveness and grace. A God who is with us and who loves us with an everlasting love, not dependent on what we've done or what we're gonna do. He redeems, he restores, rebuilds, and sets us free. And this is the God that we seek to know and to be known by, who invites us into a place of safety and prayer, of union and intimacy, where we can trust God's good intentions and find peace and joy in his presence. In the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, God says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me." And I wonder if we will accept God's invitation, if we will open up the parts of ourselves, of our lives, of our experiences to invite him in. And I think, like, do some of us, our box is closed, and maybe it's like wrapped in packing tape. No, I'm good. That one can stay in the box. I don't need to take that one out. Maybe we even want to ship it off somewhere else. Say, no, I'm done. Like, I don't have hope with that anymore. And I feel like God's inviting us to bring it to the table, whatever it might be for you. And he wants to say, you can trust me. You can open up whatever that is and you can trust me with it. And I will hold you. I will hold your heart. I'll hold that experience, that memory, that pain, whatever that is. I can hold that, that it's safe. Each week we've had different Lakesiders come and share their story with us. And this morning, Adriana is going to come and share her personal experience with contemplative prayer. And so I want to welcome Adriana to come on up. And she's going to share her story, and then she's going to lead us in a time of stillness. So let's welcome her as she comes so bravely to share. Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah.
I'm really bringing it to the table here.
You are. Does that look good to you?
Yeah, that's
okay,
good.
I'm going to grab my water.
Okay, unlike today, it was one of those sweet November days. Cool, but calm and sunny. On that day, driving home from Barrie, there were no words that could come close to reaching the depth of pain I was feeling. My sister was dying. I had left her home, and that would be the last time I would see her. Breathe. She would take her breath, last breath that evening. Okay, here we go. She had been sick for 5 months, and I was intentional about spending as much time with her as I could. That meant driving back and forth from Guelph to Barrie, where she lived. Much of that time on the road was spent in prayer. There was a familiar rhythm to the words I laid out before God. Requests, explanations, even pleading and bargaining. But on that day in November, there were no words that could reach the place of pain within me. I was crying. And then the crying turned into that uncontrollable sobbing. The kind where you just can't breathe, you know? It wasn't safe to keep driving, so I pulled over in a parking lot just outside of Alliston and got out of the car, pacing and sobbing. I just couldn't catch my breath. A strange thing happened. I stopped pacing, and I heard something in me say, "Breathe. Just breathe." In that moment, I felt safe. I felt held and strangely peaceful. Looking back, I now know that that was the day that prayer itself had begun to change for me. I'm Adriana. I've been attending Lakeside for almost exactly 2 years. I hadn't attended church regularly since my sister's passing, so for about 8 years. God works in mysterious ways, and I truly believe that I was led here to Lakeside. Some of you might recognize me from the tea room. I work with Mary Lloyd, serving her fresh-baked scones, homemade soup, and delicious quiche every Tuesday. Mary has such a heart for Lakeside, and her enthusiasm sparked curiosity in me. Something else was happening too. I was getting to know the staff who visited the tea room for lunch before their meetings. Brian does not like onions, but he knows like everyone. It's true. Johanna, she's gluten-free and has the warmest smile. Kevin is always on task. He's always willing to help. Kids love Kevin. And he comes into the tea room right before we open, and he takes a scone, he sneaks one out, and murmurs something about quality control. Then there's Rose, and she visits the tea room, and often she comes to get something to gift to someone else. Then there's Kathleen, who I felt immediately, who I knew forever. And then there's Robin, who loves potato leek soup, light on the potatoes, and she loves carrot cake. She's just her favorite. Well, on one particular Tuesday, Robin came into the tea room at the end of a busy day. I was tackling the cleanup, and she must have noticed that I was tired, because the next thing I knew, she was rolling up her sleeves, helping me to clear tables and do the dishes. That was it. The following Sunday was my first time in church here, and I've been coming to Lakeside ever since. 4 days after my sister's funeral, I received a devastating call from my sister-in-law, Diana. My beautiful brother, Jeff, who was also... my spiritual friend, the lead pastor at St. Andrew St. Paul in downtown Montreal, had surgery to remove his gallbladder. What they discovered was advanced gallbladder cancer that had already spread. He passed away 7 months later, almost exactly to the day after my sister. Those 7 months taught me that extreme sadness and unexplainable joy can exist at the same time. That heartbreak is somehow deeply connected to the most extravagant love. Not long after my dad passed away, I think he died of a broken heart, even though the doctors said that he had pancreatic cancer. I had become acquainted with grief in a way I could not have prepared for. The emotional pain, however, didn't peak during the loss. It peaked afterward, about a year later. I think my nervous system finally decided it was time to process everything, even though I myself was not ready. I tanked. I couldn't find a spark of life anywhere. I did my best for my family, pushing through. I hadn't really known what anxiety was until then. It's irrational and cruel. It tells you the worst lies. The angst is connected to a loss that runs so deep that no words can tell God what you need. So I didn't pray. Not at all. Something had to change. Maybe it was that same voice I heard in the parking lot in Alliston calling me to listen. I surrendered, which is not the same as giving up. One anxious, angry morning, I wondered if I could actually hear God's voice, what would that voice say? And there were answers. Eat healthy food. Really, God? Get off the couch, go for a walk. You need fresh air. Call a friend who will make you laugh. Good friends are the best gift from God. If your husband asks you to go out, go out. Get dressed up. Show up. Rest. Get your hands in the veggie garden. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Even if you don't mean it, until you do mean it. And I did all the things. Slowly, I began to come out the other side. God was meeting me in those wordless places, and I began to long for those encounters. Come in. Yeah, I'm good. No, I'm good. I joined an online community that helped me put language to what I was going through. I learned that although I didn't realize it, I had been praying in a contemplative way. I learned that contemplative prayer is not asking or explaining. It isn't even about speaking. It's about being. Being still before God. Resting in a presence that knows us more deeply than we know ourselves. It is prayer beyond words, where the soul simply abides in God's love. There is no place like it. Sometimes in stillness, sometimes in a crowded concert hall, sometimes in tears, sometimes in nothing but breath, often right here at Lakeside, in my seat over there. In this kind of prayer, we discover that we don't have to carry our grief alone or even make sense of it. We simply bring our brokenness into God's presence and trust that even in silence, God is listening. That even when we have nothing left to say, the Spirit is praying within us. Contemplative prayer teaches us that prayer isn't always about reaching for God. Sometimes it's about allowing God to reach into the quiet places within us. It is a surrender, a deep resting, a trust that love holds us when words cannot. I now facilitate an online group every Wednesday morning, where we enter into a contemplative spiritual practice and prayer. I'm coming up on 3 years. There are folks from all over the world, usually 12 to 16 people in attendance, and often the men outnumber the women there. We pray together, and only sometimes do we use words. I thought we might try it together right now, but only if you feel comfortable. This is how I start. You ready? Let's begin with a deep, nourishing breath. Another. breathing. It's the sacred rhythm of life. With each breath, can you feel yourself just coming more into this space? A little more at ease. Now's the time. If you want to close your eyes, you could go ahead. If not, just soften your gaze. If you're comfortable, place your hand on your chest and feel the fall and rise of your breath. Friends, know that God is as close to you as your breath. In the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went out to the deserted place, and there he prayed. So let's engage our sacred imagination for a moment. Where do you feel closest with God? In a forest? Beside a babbling brook? In a cozy chair by the window? Settle in there in your mind's eye. Now I'm going to ask you to bring someone to mind. Perhaps someone sitting near you today. Maybe it's someone you've been meaning to call but haven't. Perhaps it's someone who's struggling with their health or their sense of worth. Maybe your own name arises today. Is God speaking your name? Trust the process. Now simply imagine God's love shining upon them, upon you. It's radiant and warm. It's pure light and it's pure love. Stay with it. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come on back. Friends, the familiar prayers of thanks, of need, of hope are still a sacred part of who I am. They are how I learned to talk with God. But now I've learned that sometimes prayer doesn't need words at all. Contemplative prayer is that still space where I don't reach for God, but let God reach for me. Both ways of praying belong together, like breathing in and like breathing out.
Yeah, thank you, Adriana. Oh, we're okay back there? Amazing. Thank you so much, Adriana. I don't need this mic. I'm like talking into it, but I have one on my face. I hope that was a helpful experience and exercise for you. If something came up for you, or if you would like more prayer conversation with someone, this morning at our both these crosses up at the front, I think Adrienne is at one of them, and another person will be at the other one. They would love to process with you, pray with you, listen with you. So I invite you to do that. And I'd just like to share a blessing, just bless you all before we continue in our snowy Sunday day. So may God grant you the grace to hear his voice amid life's distractions. May you be empowered by the Holy Spirit to open the door of your heart and life and experience the joy of God's intimate fellowship. May the Lord bless you and keep you in his presence now, today, and always. Have a great Sunday, friends.